You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Ryan Cote. Ryan is the Director of Digital Services and partner at Ballantyne, a third-generation, family-owned direct mail and digital marketing company based out of Fairfield, New Jersey. With Ballantyne since 2003, a family-owned business started in 1966 by his great uncle, Ryan now manages the growing digital marketing division. From lead generation to marketing strategy for small businesses, Ryan and his company rise above the get-featured-quick schemes so often attributed to digital marketing. He loves to geek out on technical marketing talk as well as work with real-world business owners about growing their book of business in today's online world. Ryan, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks, Nick. Really happy to be here.
Well, I am happy to chat with you a bit. There were so many things, even in your bio, that I loved. I think the get featured quick scheme is something that we don't talk enough about, and yet it is. Sorry, that was my own dramatic pause saying, and yet it is something that I think we see, and that too many erroneously aspire towards.
Exactly. You know, getting a lot of traffic instantly or instant results, like, you know, SEO. Okay, we'll get you in the first 1 month for $99. So there's a lot of that kind of garbage out there. So, we definitely operate much differently. As I'm sure you do as well.
Well, yeah. And I think the get featured quick schemes, the first page, the whatever else, is something that at a time that is scary for many businesses, it's easy to see what that looks like, to see the first page.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I agree. It's it's something that we try to highlight because I think it's for us too. And I know you're in the client work. It's all about setting expectations too. So, you know, clients coming in spend their hard-earned money with you, and that's understandable. They want results as soon as possible. But it's all about setting expectations, especially because not only is it their hard-earned money, but they get a lot of email solicitations promising to get featured super quick and first page in 1 month and whatever else they're getting pitched. So it's really important to set the expectations.
So when you talk about the challenges with some of these quick schemes, where do you start? You talked about geeking out on technical marketing talk, but also on working with real world business owners. And in talking to real world business owners who in many cases are struggling to keep up with all of these shifts, where does a conversation start out with, hey, we need to be doing more of that than we are, but we're coming at this from behind. Where do you jump in?
Yeah, so once we identify that a potential client has a need, and we focus on specific niches, so it's not just anyone. We have a target profile of companies that we'd like to work with. Once we identify that there is need, obviously we have a conversation with them and learn more about what they're doing, what their goals are. But if they're going to become a client, we typically start off with we do start off with a positioning statement exercise where we learn more about, what do they sell? Who do they sell to? Why do customers buy from them? What makes them different? What resonates with their audience? What makes them better? Just like really creating this whole profile of who they're selling to and why their customers are buying from them. And that in turn helps us identify, okay, well, what channels do we need to take advantage of? What channels aren't they taking advantage of that they should be? And then once we identify those channels, how are we going to speak to the person to get them interested in our client's product or service. So that's you know, that's pretty much the path that we take. And then obviously, you know, we execute. And, you know, for us, we do, you know, because things honestly just sometimes do not work or things change, like with Facebook, all the stuff that's changing there. We always make it a practice every quarter to review the strategy. You know, you don't want to make a change too quick because things take time. So every quarter we're reviewing the strategy and identifying, okay, what's working, what's not. Are we on the right path? Do we need to make a change? You know, we're working with business owners, like you mentioned. And so like it's, you know, small businesses. And so, you know, they're entrusting in our expertise. So it's more about getting feedback from them in terms of how things are going in their business and recommendations to them.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about a positioning statement exercise, and I feel like in the get featured quick, digital or die age, things like positioning statements to some could feel old fashioned, but why do you have to start with some of those basic questions?
Well, because you need to know A, what you're selling, who you're selling it to, and why they buy. And that's sort of crafts, you know, whether you're doing crafts together the whole strategy, whether you're doing content or you're writing ad copy for Google Ads or you're even writing metadata for search engine optimization. You need to know those key pieces of information. Otherwise, Nate, you know, so that's why we start off with that. And honestly, it's really, it's actually, you know, so for like a business, for, you know, the types of clients that we work with and just, you know, business owners in general, those are generally pretty invigorating conversations. Like they go for a couple of hours because, you know, oftentimes they haven't really thought about that, you know, they haven't really answered those types of questions. And so it creates a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, I purposefully asked that in something of a leading way, because with a similar business and certainly a brand driven approach, pun intended, myself, I find myself doing similar activities like you're talking about with clients, and that's usually they don't want that. They wanted to order the other thing off the menu item, and so often it's met in the end with exactly what you're saying, that these are valuable questions to have answered, both from a business perspective but also because it informs every touch point, every Google ad that you're running out there, and so forth.
Yeah, this is kind of piggybacking on what you said. We had one client where we were doing this with, and they, we don't position ourselves as brand experts, you know, like you. We're more just trying to get the information that we need to do a better job, like in terms of ad copy and content, et cetera. We had one situation where we were having this conversation with the client, and they seemed kind of irritated because it's a lot of questions, you know, when they're doing, they seem very irritated that they had to answer the questions. And so we said, well, we don't have to do this, you know, but it's for your best interest. And so they said, all right, well, let's just keep on doing it. You know, let's trust the process. And by the end, they're like, yeah, we're really glad we did this, you know? So sometimes you just need to warm them up a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, again, it's kind of, I keep coming back to get featured quick or get rich quick, whatever. We want instant results. And sometimes these questions, this extrapolation seems like a chore. It seems like it is an academic exercise, but it is so foundational to be able to do marketing that actually matters, as opposed to just spinning your wheels.
And you know, and not to take this conversation in a different direction, but I have to remind myself. So I'm like really big into you know, personal development, self growth, you know. I think my wife thinks I'm crazy, but you know, like morning routines, meditation. I'm even taking cold showers now, which is I'm still not used to yet, but oof. I'm at least not screaming anymore, you know, where they think something's wrong. But you know, like it's like these small little daily micro activities that don't feel like they're doing anything. I have to remind myself things take time, you know, just keep meditating, keep practicing gratitude, keep taking the cold shower, and you know, it's the accumulation of these little mini activities.
Yeah, well, what is, you know, I'm going to run with that because the cold shower is such a striking visual and a good a good routine. I'm trying to remember exactly why, but it seems like it's something startling in nature. And is there a cold shower in marketing today that we need to suck it up and remember to do?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I take my cold showers because I don't want to take a cold shower. So I do it because I don't want to do it. So it's like it's addressing the thing that you don't want to do and just getting used to the being uncomfortable. That is a great question. So in terms of marketing, I mean, for me and for even for own marketing, I think it's being consistent. I don't know if that's it's being consistent. Because writing content on a regular basis, as you know, I don't do a podcast. But, being consistent is not easy. It's definitely a hard challenge. It's definitely a hard thing, a challenge, and just keeping consistent and pumping out the content, being diligent with the marketing activities. I guess that's why we have a job, because a lot of companies can't stay consistent with it and they don't want to, and so they outsource it. But I think that's what I would say. What would you say?
Oh, well, you flipped it back on me. I think making sure that we are measuring what it is that we're doing, I think that's a cold shower that we're not taking, or measuring beyond vanity metrics, looking and making sure that what we're doing is actually accomplishing what it's supposed to be doing. I also think that in general, a cold shower as a channel, I'm really stretching this metaphor perhaps a little thin, but the cold shower there of a marketing channel is email. And I feel like that was a shower, again with the metaphor, that we turned on long ago, that's still performing and outperforming even many other channels, and yet most haven't done anything that different with their strategy. And it's still humming along the same as it was when we developed it 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of speak a little bit about that as well, because it's something, we do email newsletters for clients, but something that new that we're doing that might spawn some ideas for your audience. It's sort of a new thing for us in terms of how we're approaching it. So I wouldn't say we've done tons of campaigns around this, but it's showing a lot of promise. It's basically, you can't rely on one channel. You have to create a campaign that takes advantage of different channels, multiple touch points, just to reach just to get the attention of your audience. And so what we've been doing is you're renting email data, or you have your own house file, email data, customer prospects, whatever the case is, either rent it or you have it, and developing an email campaign, whether it's one or two or three emails a month. And this works really well for B2B, which is business to business, which is what we do a lot of. And so you send out the emails, and you take that email list and you upload it to Facebook and LinkedIn. And so a certain percentage of the people that are getting the emails are also getting ads in their Facebook or LinkedIn feeds. Same general message and creative and offer. And then we're working with our clients' sales team. So after every email blast that we do, we're sending them a list of the opens and the clicks. So, they kind of have a call list for them sort of prioritized in terms of interest. And then, the content that we create for the emails, generally it's a case study or a project spotlight or whatever, whatever the case is, an authority piece of content, and we publish it on their site, make sure it's SEO optimized. So there's a lot of things going on. It's sort of like an email, but it's sort of evolved to all these different channels. And that's what's really got us excited right now.
Well, I'd say that's kind of coming full circle to that cold shower of what people don't want to do. And I took us off down the email path. But with what you just mentioned, with people are everywhere, they want that message from you everywhere, and they might not be in one location, but they might be in another. And, that's what all of that omnichannel jazz is talking about. But what you just outlined is I also think, it's not just a cold shower. That's just something that we're forgetting to do, is to make sure that we've connected all of those different dots, that if we've created that one piece of content, that we are repackaging that, repurposing that for other channels along the way as well.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the seven dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's Nick Westergaard with two A's, .com/speaking. Now back to the show.
It's the repurposing is really important. I mean, even something that we're finding pretty helpful is just transcribing content and editing it into a blog post. So it could be a podcast episode like this, but it could also be creating content for a client with a technical topic, or maybe they're particular about how they want the content to read. And so you record them, you take the audio, transcribe it. Can't really use that as the blog post. You have to really edit it a lot, but you at least have something that's expert level because it's coming from the client or it's coming from you, and then you're editing it into a really strong blog post. So it's different ways to do this marketing game.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, I mean, I wrote a whole book on the scrappy nature of digital marketing today, but that makes me think of that word when you talk about this process of we've got a podcast interview with the small business owner with some authority figure for the brand talking for a half hour. That's an asset, but we might need to, I talk about it a lot in terms of like a mining exercise, that we need to chip it out of the rock that it's stuck in. So I think there's more of that. I don't know enough about manufacturing and mining to really overdo this metaphor, but it seems like there's a lot of there's a lot of unprocessed material that we can do things with that we're probably missing out on more than we should be.
It's like underutilized almost.
Scrap. That's not.
Yeah, I mean, just another idea that you made me think of is oftentimes if you're blogging and you're creating content and you're doing weekly content for yourself or for a client or what have you, after a while it's hard to think of ideas to write about, depending on the niche. And one thing that we are doing and we're seeing great success with is going back to content that is doing well in Google, so you can find that out by just going to Analytics or Search Console and taking content that is already doing well. So Google says, hey, we like this piece of content. And so what we do then is we add more content to it. So we don't really edit the original blog post because you don't really want to disturb whatever it is. Google's ranking it for a reason. So you don't want to disturb too much. You don't want to change the metadata and much of the content, but we basically build onto it. So if it's 600 words, maybe we'll add another few hundred words onto it. Especially if we can add new information to it. And I'm telling you, I haven't, maybe it's coming, but I haven't seen it yet not increase organic traffic after you do this. So we'll see. Hopefully it continues.
You mentioned and have mentioned a couple times different niches. I always think, are there interesting industry verticals that you're working in? That where surprising things are happening.
I mean, one for us, we just love the manufacturing niche. I mean, we primarily play in the contractors, professional service, and manufacturing, and those are all really three interesting niches for us. But manufacturing is just so raw. They don't really have any marketing expertise. They never really thought they needed it. It is a sort of a challenge because it's a lot of times some of our clients, it's so particular. So specific, like rotary shaft seals and gas flow valves.
I love it. We've done some work for different manufacturers through the years and even the National Association of Manufacturers. But I love it just being, I'd say maybe first and foremost, a writer. I love the language, like you said, because it's hard to learn, and you have to spend a lot of time sitting with the guys and gals at the places with cool machines and all the sparks. But once you can pick up on that and actually sound like that industry, I think it gives a good feeling as a marketer if you can hit that level. So, Ryan, talk a little bit about being a family business. And I think, as an agency, but I think any brand where you've got generations involved, how has the brand evolved as well? But also, I feel like since it's the metaphor hour here, how do you end up not throwing the brand out with the bathwater?
Yes, I mean, balancing goes back to the mid-60s, my company, and so, you know, I'm third generation. And yeah, we've definitely evolved as a brand. You know, we're still a small business, you know, 20 employees or 20 team members. So I hate the word employee, so I used it by accident. But, you know, it's the company's evolved from just doing direct mail to then direct mail and digital as our clients have requested it. And, you know, for us, it's really been super conscious of culture. You know, we're very particular about the team that we hire, the people that we bring on board, and then just make sure that they know that we appreciate them and showing them that. And so I think when you get those things right, it all just kind of works itself out, like in terms of how the team treats the clients and how, you know, they show up at work and how hard they work, and, you know, the work ethic that they put forward. You know, and for us, it's just, we do print and digital, and so that's going to take us, you know, far and wide here, because, you know, we're kind of both sides of the marketing pie, but we're always looking for new things. Like, there's just something we're not doing as a brand, things that we should be doing. You know, I've got myself and my two brothers and uncle who are partners in the business. And so, you know, we meet pretty frequently, at least weekly, to kind of discuss these things. So I think the answer really is over communication with your team and identifying, you know, the areas you need to be in.
Absolutely. Well, I think culture is especially key. And I think especially you talked about the vertical of professional service firms. And I think one area where culture comes in is it's hard to make clients and others feel like, unless they're part of the family that is behind the business, that I'm dealing with someone important. So how do you communicate that the business is both, you know, infused with the values of the family, but also is something bigger that everyone's a part of as well?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I haven't been asked that before. It's really, I think it really comes down from the top and how you treat everyone. And so even though, like, I'm part of the family, it's not like anyone gets special treatment here. Everyone's the same, you know? And so it really comes down to how you treat everyone, the culture that you create, the environment that you create, you know, a very relaxed environment, you know, and, you know, with the clients, it's really trusting that your team can handle them and just letting them do it. And if they have problems, you work it out with them. And let's be honest, like, you know, the team here is much stronger in certain areas than I am and my brothers. So, you know, I just, you know, training and trust them that they're going to treat the clients right and just letting them do it. And, you know, letting them take the biweekly phone calls with the clients, letting them go on meetings and just, you know, and trying to help them grow as well. So I mentioned before that I'm sort of like a maniac with self-development, personal development. So I send like this weekly email to the team with, like, you know, things like the culture hours and things like the morning routines and podcasts that they should listen to. And I don't know if they're all reading it, but, you know, some of them are. And I'd like to think that they're starting to think a little bit differently and wanting to try to improve themselves. And that trickles down into all areas, including how they're doing the work and how they're treating the clients.
Awesome. Well, speaking of things to share with others that help all of that, as we start to wrap things up, Ryan, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
All right, so this is really a personal brand, though he's kind of turning into a bigger brand, but it's really a personal brand. It's this podcast I listen to. It's Ed Milet. Have you heard of Ed Milet?
No, I'm curious.
Okay, so it's Ed Milet Show. I think it's the number one business podcast right now.
Oh, wow.
And man, his content is so spot on. First of all, he's a family man. I'm a family man too, three daughters. He's a family man. He's a very successful businessman. He's just got a great way about him, his interview style, the people he brings on, the content that he produces, the lessons that he has that he puts out. I sound like a real fanboy here, but it just really resonates with me. And, you know, it's just, you know, he's very big into, like, you know, entrepreneurial type podcasts and content and lessons learned. And, you know, I just really resonate with his message and his teachings. And it's a brand that I am pretty, pretty diligent in following.
Awesome. Well, that sounds great. I can't wait to check that out myself, which is my my secret reason for asking questions like this. Ryan, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. It's R-Y-A-N, Ryan Cote, C-O-T-E. Or go to our website. It's ballantine.com. I like the beer, spelled like the beer, but no relationship. It's B as in Bob, A L. It's still around too. B as in Bob, A L L A N T I N E.com, ballantine.com.
All right. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Ryan, thanks for joining us on Brand.
Thanks, Nick. And I really appreciate it. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
And a reminder, if you heard something that you liked on this episode or another, if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. Remember, you can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and TuneIn. Speaking of Google and iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.